Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to Studio on a Hill. We are so grateful that you tuned in, and really, we're so grateful for the privilege. And I see Don, and I thank God for, you know, he makes a way when there seems to be no way. My computer has crashed, but yet, because of God's provisions, I have another way of getting on the Internet. So just want to say hello if I can do this right and get Don where she can talk to us. May have to call us up through my phone, Don, because I'm trying to get you on, but I'm having a hard time, but I'm going to keep trying. Oh, I think I got you on. Hey, Don.
Hi, Diana. Can you hear me?
Oh, I got it good. Yes, and we've got Miss Betty Peters on with us, too. And, you know, through God's provision, we are able to talk, and I know you and Miss Betty are going to give, I mean, just prime information, because if I remember from the presidential debate last night, the first thing he touched on that President Obama touched on was education. So we're going to touch on that today, first things first. But, of course, of prime importance is really giving it to God. So, Don, would you mind starting us off like the founders did, and let's give him glory with this conversation?
Absolutely. I'd be honored. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, as we always do each and every day, for all the blessings you give us. We want to thank you for opening our eyes, allowing us to reach out to so many people and educate them, and to allow us to be the vessels through which you work. Please continue to have us speak with your wisdom, your light, your grace, and please allow us to continue our fight to bring the nation back to you. We see so much is going on right now and so much that isn't positive, but we also see so much that is positive. So we just want to thank you for allowing us to work for you and, you know, educating everybody else. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much. And I think Miss Betty is coming back on. I think I lost her. Are you back on with us?
Yes.
Hi, Miss Betty. Oh, God is good. Okay. And I think, Don, are you also still on with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, God is good. I'm just so excited because my computer had crashed. So I'm just really beside myself and I can even do this. But God is so good. And I just really think, you know, I'm so grateful for people listening to the call of God. And we know that in our history, because if we studied our history, we've seen that picture of George Washington kneeling and asking God to help, you know, this great country. And my goodness, God heard his prayers. And I want to thank you, Mrs. Betty Peters, with our Board of Education here in the state of Alabama, because, Ms. Betty, you know, you have a heart for children, really, tomorrow. That is who's going to control our future is the children today. And you have woken me up, along with many others across America, about what the president was talking about, raised to the top, and, you know, the common core.
Oh, did you love that last night?
Yes, I did. I mean, like I said, Don, that was, you know, he said, well, let me get started and first. And he dealt with education first. But anyway,
I was live tweeting. I want to let you ladies know this. I was live tweeting, so I got more hits by saying that Race to the Top was the payoff to the unions and that everybody needs to understand what Race to the Top and Common Cores are. And for every parent, you need to know what this is right here, right now.
Well, here's how I would... May I interject something? Here's how I would phrase the situation between Race to the Top and the Common Core State Standards. Race to the Top was the honey that made the medicine of Common Core Standards go down. You know, a spoonful of honey and make the medicine go down?
Oh, indeed.
That,
well,
was, that was the bribe. That was the bribe.
Ms. Betty, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning of what is Race to the Top, which is, I think, what you were trying to get to. Sorry, go ahead.
To me or Dawn?
No, for you. Go ahead, Ms. Betty. I'm sorry. You were getting to it, and I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, the whole Common Core State Standards Initiative has come it's been made apparent very slowly, and it's been in little parts, little sections, like a jigsaw puzzle. And it started out with something called the American Diploma Project, which sounded innocuous enough. I even voted for it. Then we kept moving along, and next thing you knew, we had something called Race to the Top, which is like a lottery kind of thing. You apply for grants. And there were four main parts of it. And most of the states probably would not have applied if they had known what all was involved. I don't think they knew. It was kind of like Nancy Pelosi saying, pass it and you can read it later. Well, that's kind of the way I felt. I didn't vote for it as a state school board member, but I can see how people did vote for it because it was so confusing, and I think that was deliberate. But the Common Core State Standards Initiative is what they were calling having national standards for math and English language arts. And it was sold in Alabama as that was all it would be. It wouldn't be about assessments. It wouldn't be about science and social studies, which even the people that aren't real conservative still in Alabama understand that you really don't want people from all over the nation telling us what to teach in science and social studies because they could see how certain agendas could get in there. But they didn't seem to realize you can also have agendas in math and English language arts. But it's turned out to be a huge, very, very complex reform plan. And it's very much like Hillary Clinton and Mark Tucker's Goals 2000 School to Work. It's very similar. But it's actually bigger. And it also has global emphasis.
Wow. Bigger. Well, you know, Ms. Betty, I did see just, I think, a couple weeks ago an article on Fox News, and I think the article was inferring that this is really bigger than Obamacare.
It is.
And I think that's one thing that, you know, when the president puts that down as first, Don, I think that signals it is pretty big. It's pretty important.
Well, if you can mold the citizens for all future generations in school, then you've got it made. That's what all the dictators have done around the world for years.
Oh, indeed. And, well, let me go ahead and with that in mind, that you pretty much showed it up in the beginning for us, Ms. Betty. But let me go ask you, Don, when you think about national education, which is this is really a nationalizing education, can you remind the listeners about where we have seen national education before, as in Germany?
Yeah.
What that has done.
Well, look at China. Look at the re-education camps in China under Mao. I mean, the idea is to, I think it is not too controversial to call it indoctrination, because that's what it truly is. And the idea that they keep glossing over and keep trying to say, oh, this is going to make our kids more competitive on an international scale. Well, I'm sorry, but Johnny's not even competitive on a national scale, let alone international. Johnny is becoming more and more dumb as these things roll along. And the fact that they know very little about history, especially of their own country, is quite startling. But there are no, the more we get into the technology, this is what scares me. The more that schools adopt technology as a way to teach, I think the dumber our kids are going to get. You know, now that kids don't have to learn how to, focus on handwriting because they have computers. Well, the same can be said for spell check. My father was a big, and still is, he's raising my 10-year-old nephew right now, and he doesn't get to use spell check. If you don't know a word, you don't know how to spell it. You look it up in the dictionary, the good old-fashioned way. Because if you can't get kids to learn the way we were all taught, really, there's no sense of critical thinking, individual thought process. My state stood in line twice for things like Race to the Top and Common Core standards, because we love any time. The payoff here, folks, is federal government wants to throw money at your state for education. Federal government shouldn't be involved with your state's education, and I love that Mitt Romney made a big point of that. But, you know,
very pleased with that.
Yeah, the government.
Well, let me go ahead.
The states.
Oh,
are
go ahead, Don.
They act as if the states are too stupid to actually handle education. Lo, those 13 colonies back in the day that managed to educate their kids without a centralized government.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me go ahead, too, and point something that I've heard David Barton point out, which is, you know, the federal papers that really people today study when they go to for their master's, those were written for farmers. That is a difference in our learning abilities today. But, Ms. Betty, if you don't mind, okay, Race to the Top. We know it was an inducement, grant money, given to the states. So tell us how in the world, I mean, you know, they tout that it's now across America. America has signed up for this reform. But pretty much most state boards did not know they were signing away the parental rights. Really, for the curriculum, you know, the parental input to their curriculum. So would you give us a little bit of insight into that, you know, Race to the Top and the Common Core?
Well, it's been called, and it was every time you would see it in writing, they would say Common Core Standards, a state, not federal, effort, state-led, state initiative, state, everywhere, state. The only people in most states who were involved in this were the governor, the state school superintendent, or whatever they called him in each state, and the state school board. Well, I think I probably was better informed than most state school board members, because I didn't rely on the state of Alabama to give me information. I was working with people all over trying to find out what this really was. And I went to some conferences people from other states in general had no clue what was going on. They had been drinking the Kool-Aid. In most states, the board members are appointed by the governor. So when you consider that the Common Core standards are owned by the governor's group, that's the National Governors Association, and the chief state school officers, those are your state superintendents, they own them. If they're going to be changed, they have to change them. Will they be the same ones that wrote them? No, because these people change over time. So the people of the states are pretty much held hostage if they wake up and decide they don't like it.
Well,
now, I don't think because you've got maybe a school board has at most maybe 15 people. Ours has plus the governor. So you've got 9 to 15 people in the state, the governor and the state superintendent, who were agreeing to this. The parents didn't know. The teachers didn't know. None of these people were asked what they really wanted. When they had public forums, it was in some obscure way that I didn't even know there was an opportunity to comment on them. The parents have been completely left out, and so have the poor teachers.
Well, Ms. Betty, the need for the money by each state was a driving force, and he had the key. He had stimulus money, and so they were giving these money out, which is really stimulus money in forms of grants,
yes,
to get on board with this. And when the governor and the state board swallowed the bait, it was once they found they got it, it was kind of hard to realize the truth, and really you didn't want to face the truth because really what you did was you gave up your right over the state curriculum. And
yes,
that's something nobody really wants to be known as, is giving up, you know, your right over your own state curriculum and really giving out worse the parents' right over their child's education. So that's really what it did. But then now that we've got it, now states are finding out how bad it is because they're finding out the money. Can you tell us about that part, the money part they spent?
Well, the money for the Common Core standards was, well, for the Race to the Top money, was all U.S. government money. So it was federal money. And that was, you know, to get the states to participate so they would have more points to win in the contest. All of them didn't win. Alabama didn't win anything. The other part was the assessments were partly funded. That they were nearly all funded by federal money. And the Bill Gates Foundation and some other foundations paid other entities to provide public support for the Common Core standards. I can't tell you the URL right off my head, but Pioneer Institute in 2009 compiled a list of these entities, like National Education and Economy, the National PTA, Jim Hunt's Foundation in North Carolina, various groups. They all, Fordham Institute, or Fordham Foundation, they all received money and they provided PR support and in essence became paid cheerleaders. So we've got private money, public money, all that intertwined, and Bill Gates had a lot more input into this than all the parents in Alabama and other states put together.
And really, Ms. Betty, that bottom line, Don, you know, we know it, you know, it's follow the money. Bill Gates can spare a lot of this money to start this because, and I was reading an article, really the new economy that a lot of businesses are looking at is really the field of education, because if you can get, hey, if you can get the states to, you know, buy your equipment, software, well, you name it, computers, hardware, you know, hey, wow, that is money in the bank because you're going to always have students. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, it started with Bill Gates wanting to do what a businessman does, which is really to sell his product and benefit his friends. And you have President Obama who has an agenda, and, of course, it's indoctrination, bottom line. We hate to say that, but that's the bottom line truth. So the two married, joined together, and now we have this perfect Union, and they're using the Race to the Top and the Common Core Standards, which is really going to be standards all across the land coming from Washington. But out of that too, Miss Betty, I know that you're worried about, I mean, not just the expense. We know it's going to be very expensive, $100 million. Alabama just really just did that in the last legislative session. We put ourselves in debt for $100 million worth of iPads for 9 through 12, and the citizens didn't even know about it. We're saying we're going to, you know, let loose the prisoners. I know that's what was in the September 18th election, but nobody even knew we were putting ourselves in debt for $100 million for iPads, but we were saying the sky is falling, but yet we'd, you know, get another $100 million out of the bag somewhere. But anyway, it's just really the I've done lost myself just thinking about the $100 million, but the data mining. Well,
that's really the tip of the iceberg. And let me mention one of the main vendors involved in all of this. And I say that we went from NCLB, No Child Left Behind, which was George W. Bush's education reform package, to NVLB, No Vendor Left Behind, which is the Obama administration's education reform package. And this is aimed at vendors, and the main one is Pearson, which is the largest publishing company in the world. They are a British company, and Pearson is huge, and Pearson has had deals with everybody under the sun. They sell most of the math and English books and reading books in Alabama already before this Common Core stuff. They are huge. Somebody's written something about all roads to the Common Core lead to Pearson. Another big one, of course, is Microsoft. You've got, you know, Bill Gates. But even Rupert Murdoch, and you've probably heard of him. He's British, and he owns Fox News and some major newspapers and all. He said with glee, and someone's got the quote, and you can find it easily if you just do a Google search. He says there's $500 billion in education. I want some of it.
Everybody wants some
of it. He bought 90% of one of the companies it's called Wireless Generation, and they have these little handheld devices. North Carolina's former governor did a deal to get them there. Klein from New York City, the former chancellor of schools there, did a deal with them to get their handheld devices. I think that one failed, but Florida has got them. People are just selling stuff to schools. And it seems like the threshold of discernment from the buyers is lacking.
And to now, Ms. Betty, now there's also the data mining. Share that with Dawn that you are very concerned about.
Okay, for years, the federal government, with help from the states, has been getting data on students. They've had a database in each state, and it would have, like, the student's height, weight, age, maybe class, the general stuff you would expect, minority status and all that. Well, it is expanding. And now with the assessments under the having to be computerized, every bit of this information will go into this dark hole of databases. And one of the four criteria for the Race to the Top was establishing a state longitudinal database and bring down the firewalls between your state and other states so the information could be shared easily. As recently as the No Child Left Behind legislation, there were restrictions on that data. Now it's very, as we say, loosey-goosey. Your child or grandchild or neighbor's child's, and even the teacher's information is not going to be safeguarded. And when you consider a lot of the stuff that's in assessments and it going to future employers or just wherever, there are things in there that could be erroneous. How does your child get it corrected. There could be things that would put a bad label on that child. The child may grow out of whatever the problem was and turn into a very good, upstanding citizen, but that thing in his portfolio is going to follow him. In China, they call this a dangang, D-A-N-G-A-N. Now we're going to have electronic dangangs for all of our students.
Well, Don, what are your thoughts on what she has just informed us? Oh, Miss Betty, I'm sorry. I may have lost Don. Let me try to get her.
No, I'm here.
I was going to suggest maybe she speaks with
us. Oh, there she is. She is. Don,
is okay. I'm sorry. What did I miss?
Well, she was talking about the data mining that is going to be happening. And, you know, I read an article, too, that really this is, you know, businesses want some of this information. My goodness, you know, it helped them with running their business. They know what children are wanting and all sorts of things, what the families are concerned about. So it's going to help businesses. So, you know, it's really like an inroad to your home.
Absolutely.
It's targeted
privacy anymore. The Fourth Amendment has been shelved long ago. Your grocery store, every time you use your card to get your discount at your grocery store, now knows what you have a propensity to buy, so they will send you coupons for those particular items. It's basically the same idea.
Yes.
Only problem is that as we start to keep track of people from day one, that, and this was the argument against all of these things, that this Fourth Amendment, intrusion, is that when you start picking the winners and losers, as we know this administration does, that so anytime you find somebody finds out your child has perhaps a propensity for addiction that runs in your family, diabetes that runs in your family, even though they haven't gotten or have either one of those issues, you know, what happens when employers start looking at this information? We already know employers are actually going out onto the internet, Googling your name, looking at your Facebook page, looking at what you say out there. And there are a lot of people that aren't necessarily careful and don't realize that once it's out there in the ether of the internet, it remains. There's the Fourth Amendment has been shelved. It's completely gone. Nobody has any... and this was all part of Obamacare, too. This was the payoff to groups like Acorn because, you know, we want everybody keeping track. We need to have somebody that keeps track of these folks.
It is very, very scary, and I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't this be a great tool for insurance providers if they could have access to this, you know, and how much, you know, the premiums would be, depending on, well, how healthy... You know, it's the history of this family, you know.
Exactly. So if they find out, oh, my goodness, this lady has had breast cancer in her family, close relatives, you know, what happens? They can raise your premium. I mean, the whole idea is completely, an intrusion. It's just as if, you know, all the stuff that we argued about for cap and trade and the idea of smart meters – keeping track of your appliances, which falls under the heading of Hello Green Energy, the only thing that they want to do is have absolute control over the whole society at large. And it begins in our classrooms. It begins with our children the first time they go into school. And if people don't believe it, look at Colorado. What the LGBT did in Colorado is they had a man that ran at 27, unmarried, gay, openly gay man, ran for the head of the school board, and won. Now, you tell me what he knows about educating kids. It wasn't about educating kids. It's about indoctrinating them into a certain agenda.
Wow. How sad is that? How sad is that? But that's it. And you know, what people are finding out, too, Miss Betty, oops, I don't know whose is that, is, you know, the cost of this thing. It is just really not affordable, and I'm seeing good news. Did I see good news on the horizon, though, Miss Betty, that states are balking because they're finding they don't have the money to pay for this thing? Oh, Miss Betty probably had to answer that.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I'm sorry to say. I was talking about the cost. Because it is, you know, states that signed off thinking, oh, I'm going to have more money because I'm going to get that race to the top grant. But, oh, I realize I just signed away the parents' rights, you know, to their children's education. How can I hide it? But the reality is legislatures and the Board of Education, many of them are having the tough problem of how to come up with the rest of the money, because those grant money are not going to fund these programs forever. The states are going to have to.
Well, I would think that there'd be two answers. One, which I hate to even think about, it sounds so weird, is that perhaps whoever's behind this wants to bankrupt the nation. That's a possibility. The other would be this is a ploy to raise taxes everywhere. You've just seen what Diana has just pointed out, is that Alabama had a vote and part of their vote covered money for technology. And at your own house, if you were broke and your husband had been laid off and you had been laid off, you wouldn't go out and buy a new computer system. But Alabama just did that for lots of students. And the problem with learning in Alabama, and I don't think it's different in any other state, the problem isn't lack of computers. It's lack of learning. And it doesn't take a computer to learn. Look at Leonardo da Vinci. Look at George Washington. Look at all our forefathers. Not one of them had a computer.
Well, not to mention, though, I fear we're going down this road as we see what's happening with healthcare, too, that this agenda means that you're going to have less and less qualified people actually doing the work. So, you know, it's bad enough we have unions that support bad teachers to the extent that, you know, in California there's at least one case of a teacher that was getting something like $60,000 a year for 8 years, even though he wasn't teaching, because they were still, quote-unquote, investigating the allegations that he was a pedophile. And so, you know, we're not even talking good teachers anymore, but as what we're seeing with healthcare, that my state wants to give people that are not medical doctors the ability to perform abortions, such as midwives. We're going to start seeing that teaching credentials do not have the same standard that they once did.
And you have hit that on the head. You are correct. As they have turned teachers into facilitators, it allows for people with less of a credential to facilitate a class, because after all, they don't want teachers teaching, they want facilitators guiding. And you could be a facilitator and not really know much about teaching. In fact, it might fit their purposes better.
Well, Ms. Betty, I think this really shines a light on something that I was just really trying to get in my head to add 1 + 1 = 2. The NEA, who is really also for this, you know, we've got the Arnie Duncans and, you know, the Department of Ed people and NEA, they're pushing this. The Arnie Duncans, I'm thinking, aren't they killing themselves? Because I'm thinking, bottom line is, if you get to where more children are doing computer work and you're not really teaching, you're facilitating, is going to come to, there's not going to need for a teacher in every class, maybe a teacher in every 2 or 3 class or more as we develop this process. And I'm thinking, how is the NEA going to keep their money? Is it really, bottom line, is the agenda, the goal, is really what's important?
Well, I think what they're after is their unions, and they are perpetuating their unions. They don't care about individual teachers, and they certainly don't care about students. They are for keeping their unions going. And one insidious thing about this is through these movies like Waiting for Superman, and they've come out with something just recently, I can't even think of the name of it. I understand it was a box office bomb. It's just come out. They are using moderate to conservative people's concerns over education and desires to have charter schools, vouchers, and all that as options of choice to get students out of horrible schools. They are appealing to that and getting them to support people like Michelle Wee and Arne Duncan. So you've got some really strange partnerships, really strange bedfellows. They have different reasons for wanting to use the schools. They're not all on the same page, but they are on the same page in that they all want some of the money.
Dawn?
I agree with her. Money is control and power, and unfortunately we see too many states, such as California, that are drowning in red ink, and so their way back is to say, well, look, the feds are going to help out. They're going to throw some money at this issue. So, you know, the caveat is we have to go along with the program. And frankly, I think people that have to, that are in charge of bureaucracies or work in the bureaucracy are, frankly, pretty lazy. So, you know, from what I've seen with our education system in California, they just assume have somebody just hand them the book and say, okay, follow the bouncing ball, rather than to have any creativity or any common sense actually in the classroom. What I hear from classrooms, kids, and even parents that are aware, is so shocking to me, and it's not just on the level of the garbage that they're learning or the stuff they're not learning that they should, but the interaction of a teacher. We all know that if you have a teacher that can lift your kid up and make them feel confident about what they're learning and excelling, even the worst student will get something out of it. I think all of us can remember a teacher that really touched our lives. You don't hear that so much anymore, because what they are is it's rote. You know, they're teaching by you know, a basic, you know, GPS, the agenda's GPS, instead of taking the scenic route, which might be more beneficial and the kid gets more out of, it's the straight line from A to B, whatever the administration, you know, says. So, and it's all in exchange for money. It always is.
Wow.
One thing about the rote memorization, though, there are certain things that a student just has to learn by memory, like your math tables. And the, all of these people are opposed to students learning the traditional way to do long division, the traditional way to multiply three numbers by three numbers, knowing automatically that 8 times 8 is 64, the square root of 64 is 8. They don't want them to know that. I have heard an Alabama a dean of education say, we do not want facts taught. We do not want to assess facts. We want authentic assessments that test critical thinking. This is all mumbo jumbo. They know that critical thinking is good, but their idea of critical thinking is bad. It is just you can locate facts, and they think that's accessing knowledge. No, it's not knowledge. If you access to the computer and find out what the weather was 3 weeks ago, that's a fact. But is it worth knowing? No. But if you don't know any facts, if you don't have basic content knowledge, you will never be able to think critically, because you will not be able to decide which set of information is truthful.
Well,
just because
Betty,
you find it in the on the internet does not mean it's true.
Well, Ms. Betty, you know, this is really because, and this is the contrast with Romney and Obama. You know, really, parents need to have input, because parents want what's best for that child. But what we are being led to believe is, you know, hire more teachers, get more computers. But really, it's what you have stated in the beginning. It is all about building a widget, or worse, I hate to say it, building robots.
Building global citizens who will be worker bees and do what they are told. This is the great world, a brave new world of socialism all over. Do we all want to live in Greece?
No.
I already lived there.
Oh,
California
sorry,
don't want to live here.
No, we don't want to live in California.
Exactly.
Oh,
well, we hold ourselves up as, guess what, guys? This is what everybody else will look like if you don't get a control of it. We are the warning flag for every other state, and we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually, not proud of that fact, but we want people to know, if we can stop the other states, 49 other states, from becoming California, then this is great. And we're battling against this stuff every single day. It's just, and it was really disingenuous, by the way, of the president to talk about, setting up these things so that there was more technical and vocational schools. That's just the opposite of what they want. And that's just the opposite of what they've done. There is nothing that gets, you know how much bureaucracy you've got to go through to get into something like that anymore? It's ridiculous. It's, this idea that every kid's going to go to college, first of all, that's never been realistic. Not every kid wants to go to college. Not every kid's going to do well in college. Not every kid that goes to college is going to graduate from college or be able to do anything useful with their degree in underwater basket weaving in liberal education. So, the fact that we have nothing set up for these folks, it's so disheartening. It's got to be disheartening to kids that are in school. And by the way, the whole idea that everybody should get an education in college and we should provide that, please point that out in the Constitution. And by the way, my kid is going to have a harder time getting into college thanks to the DREAM Act.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent me a statistic yesterday that almost 50% of the students that go to California State Universities go free of charge, no tuition. They pay no tuition, no books, no nothing. So they are there at the grace of the federal government or the state government. And by the way, that's not our kids.
Well, I think, what Obama, President Obama has done is really, wake up a lot of our college graduates who are still out of work. I think they're awakened, Don, Ms. Betty. I know I got one of my friends had, texted, and she's a college graduate, looking for work, There's no jobs. And his point of making education a priority, I think he's got it missing, because these kids are knowing jobs is important right now. Let's get practical here. My four-year degree has not got me a thing. So I think a lot of young people are waking up, and it's really so good to have this conversation and to point it back to, I think the key really is the child. If you are a parent out there or a grandparent out there, you need to have a vision of what your child's future is going to be. A future under another 4 years of Obama. Well, young people already told you, they're taking down their Obama posters, or a future with Romney where really he wants the parents to be involved in that education. So you need to choose, and you need to choose well. What kind of a vision are you seeing, Ms. Betty?
Well, to me, if I had a mental picture to share with you, I would have a picture of Romney opening a door and light shining through. Romney doesn't have the whole truth, but he is on the way. Obama is hiding things in the dark. Now, that's my picture. I'd say Romney is being enlightened, and Obama has been part of the darkness.
Ooh. Okay, Don, how about you? What's your vision?
In a perfect world, Obama and his cabinet are gone. Hillary has no ability to actually become president anytime soon. And we turn back the clock 4 years to get rid of some of these really horrible policies, or at least defund them. And we get rid of the Federal Board of Education. Bring it back to the states. Bring our dollars back. People forget the only reason the federal government has money is because we gave it to them. They don't create their own money. So bring it back to the states. Have the parents get more involved. We have a bill that passed here called the Parent Trigger, where parents can take over the school. So So stop watching movies about somebody else doing it in a movie and do it yourself. And let's get education back to the way we saw it and we all excelled, regardless of whether or not you went on to get a college education. You know, our generation, at least when we left school, we could read and write. We can't say that so much anymore.
Yeah.
And they're kicking
out
of school.
I don't see anything to disagree with what she said.
Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, it's like we're kind of full circle, because I think a lot of people that feel like they're back in tyranny. And I think back in those days, you know, what was the light? What was it really that helped this nation grow? It was one book, you know, the Holy Bible. And I remember interviewing Ms. Professor Sandra Stotsky, and that was her problem. You know, the literature that is going to be taught in the children are content empty, and some of the great things, the great moral stories are going to be gone. But, you know, I've told her about the Bible, and she says, you know, you look at the Bible, you look at, you know, really the Bible is hard to read, but it made you want to study more, learn more. And I really cannot doubt that the founders were so intelligent, because you really had to dig to understand what you were trying to read, you know, with the King James Version, and it's beautiful. And that's really all they studied in the very beginning. But now we've got all the bookoodles, the textbooks, and our children are dumber. They're not excelling. But anyway, that's a terrible picture, but that's where we're headed if we keep this up. So it's time for a change. If you're a parent, you need to go to, what's that website, Miss Betty?
TruthInAmericanEducation.com. That's all run together, lowercase. TruthInAmericanEducation.com.
And we can do better. And I've heard Donna Garner, you know her very well. You know, they have developed really good standards for Texas. We really need to be looking at what Texas, you know, they don't welcome a calculator in Texas. And, you know, Don right there in Silicon Valley, you know, the video that I saw where these parents did not want their children to have computers. So they're taking them to the Waldorf school where they have no computers. They're learning with their minds the basics. So God is good. There, you know, there's solutions out there, but it's going to take the right leaders, right, Don? The right leadership.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's going to take leadership, period. I think last night we saw exactly that on the stage, and by the way, it wasn't the president. So I just in speaking of that, I just got to say, last night we saw the president, the next president of the United States, Mitt Romney. I mean, I really feel like he was so filled with candor, and he was right in the spot where he is the most comfortable. And he understands business, and he understands job creation, and he understands about so many issues. Wasn't thrilled when he gave a shout-out to Arne Duncan, but, you know, hey, can't have everything. But you know, compared to what we've got now and what we can look forward to in 4 years, I was very, very thrilled.
Wow.
May I make I just want to make one observation. And I noticed this, and I talked to a friend this morning, and she brought it out too. No one mentioned Common Core State Standards Initiative. That is the big thing. Race to the top.
I did.
The ball rolling. And you notice Obama never mentioned Common Core.
Well,
he doesn't want us to know.
There has to be a reason.
But he didn't mention any of his failures. When I was tweeting it out about Race to the Top, I put an arrow right to Common Core and told everybody, this is what you need to be looking at.
Mm-hmm. But if you Google, you know, you do a search on Common Core State Standards, you're going to get a million or two bad sites. But if someone will start off at truthinamericaneducation.com, they will have the primer to this. Now, it's not everything, but it will take you where you need to go. And it's kind of like Common Core for Dummies. You get this, and then you can join us and fight it. We'll give you the basics.
Indeed. truthinamericaneducation.com, and we thank you, Ms. Betty, because we've done a lot of interviews, so if you want to listen to some audio interviews that we've had, just go to www.cityonhill.tv, and I think I will post a new page, a new article on that, Dawn. You can pass it on with, you know, a listing of our interviews and maybe begin with the Professor Stotsky interview so that people can learn at the bottom and work their way up. But Truth in American Education, really, we all need to get on that website because they're doing something to fight this. And it's exposing the truth and all the people that unfortunately, you know, taking advantage of this situation. I think Obamacare is a bad thing, but I have heard Obama Common Core, is, as Ms. Betty has said it before, rotten to the core, and it is really going to cost us more money. You know, we were talking about the fact that, you know, the president kept really sidestepping the fact that he is taking away half of Medicare's, well, half of Medicare's funding. Grace Marie Turner from Gallen Institute has, you know, told us time and again. He's sidestepping that. But I'm so glad he was up there and everybody in the nation could hear the truth, Dawn. You really could hear the truth last night.
Absolutely.
Let me mention that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I had a lot of friends today. We were being, you know, the Monday morning quarterbacks and saying, you know, why didn't he take the shot here and the shot there? But I think that he, you know, Mitt Romney still looked graceful and dignified. He didn't look like he was trying to disrespect the president, which I think at this stage, it's got to be kind of a fine art between really wanting to slam the guy on his really bad policies. I just don't think Mitt Romney's that guy. You know, I think he's not out to sort of eviscerate the president. You know, so there were a lot of things that I wish he had said and a bunch of us, but I think for how we felt going into it, there is nothing better than to feel like the victor today.
The unanimous victor. I want to mention one name that has come up fairly recently, and he was the architect of the Labor Party's reform movement, education reform in England. And it was pretty much what we're doing now. And his name is Sir Michael Barber. He came over from England to the United States. He is now the education expert for one of the two education partnerships. And he is has been hired by Pearson, which I said is the biggest vendor, by Pearson, to be its education advisor. That almost seems like a conflict of interest there. And just the very idea that the person who was the Labor Party's education reform person is now our reform guru. And you know how it is if someone's got a British accent, people kind of think they're smart or, you know, just enamored just by the nice way they sound. But this guy needs some study. We need to find out how he got to where he is and how can we get him sent back to England.
Sir Michael Barber. Okay, well, we need to look that up.
I've gotten several exposés. People just, these just parents are looking stuff up. You ask them to look things up, help you. It's got great today and yesterday. I share it with Diana, and she can put it out. It'll also probably all be on the Truth in American Education website, and you can sign up for it and get their emails. And it is a parent-driven group. It's not backed by any vendor. They're not selling anything.
Ms. Betty, I don't know if you can talk about this now, but you mentioned something that's very troubling to me because we know bottom line with Common Core standards, it is about an agenda that wants to teach our children how to think and how to vote when they finally get to vote. That is, unfortunately, the bottom line. But there is something now about counseling and psychology. Did I hear you?
Yes, and I've got to get into that more. There is a gentleman, his last name is Edelman. I can't remember if his first name is Howard or something, Edelman with UCLA. And His program apparently is being going to be brought into Alabama, and it has mental health and all sorts of stuff in it. It sounds very much like what Nita Hogue explained was going on in Pennsylvania when they first started getting America 2000 evolved into Goals 2000. There was a book written about her by Beverly Ekman called Educating the New World Order. If you get it online somewhere used, it's probably, you know, $5 or $6. But what was outlined there by Mrs. Ekman, who's a professional writer, with Anita Hogue, it is so much like what we're doing with Common Core with all the data stuff and the of testing, where they are going to be testing for feelings and stuff like that rather than just facts. So sometimes if you want to know where you're going, you've got to know where you've been. So if we don't learn from history, we will repeat the errors. And I think that's a lot of the problem. But we've got this stuff out there. It's just people don't know about it. And it took me years to ever get around to reading that book. And it was like, my goodness, I'm so glad I read it. Because as I was sitting there on the state school board, things started clicking. I thought, that's what Anita Hogue said. That's what Anita Hogue said. That's H-O-G-E. So I think, especially if Obama is removed from being in charge, I think there is hope for American education and that we can change paths before we hit dead end, before we implode on ourselves. I think we're getting a last chance, perhaps.
Well,
once people know, they do not like this.
Wow. We need to share that with everybody, Dawn, and I'm sure you're taking notes, and I'm so grateful that you could be on, and Miss Betty is on, and, you know, Dawn gives us wisdom. He does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. We really have to pray for wisdom because the prize is really our children and our children's children.
And our children are our future. So if we care about America, whether we have any children of our own or not, we do need to try to get the right leadership at the top.
This is not impossible.
It is not impossible.
You know, it's a horrible thing not to be able. I mean, there's such a change now, Dawn and Miss Betty, with not being able to see the textbooks. You know, when it's on iPads, it's on computers, and, you know, if somebody has an agenda, we have made it so easy for them.
Yep.
To really, you know, change the thinking of our children. So, you know, we have to stand the gap. And, Dawn, have you seen that commercial, Ms. Betty, have you seen that commercial about the children speaking up on who to vote for? It's
no,
a video of
it.
Children. I've got to post it to your Facebook pages because it's really one of the most powerful videos out there. Everybody that saw it just had to make a comment on it and pass it on.
Oh, the ones from the students from San Diego, the I Am Tomorrow group?
Oh, maybe that's it. I think that is it. That was wonderful.
It's called Voices Without a Vote?
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Yes, that was actually, believe it or not, a California product done here in San Diego by a couple of the conservative groups. And they got these kids ranging from 13 or 14 to 17 talking about, you know, here they don't have a vote, but if they had a vote, you know, just regaling what we have in policies in this nation and how harmful it is to them and their future and how the lack of following our founding documents is going to hurt them. It really is a really powerful video.
Well, let's all get informed. When it is being said that this is bigger than Obamacare, we better wake up, America. Well, we're going to close in prayer, and we would like to ask you all to join us. And, Dawn, if you want to mention your Tea Party group for people in California to join in the fight.
Sure. They can find us at www.SoCalTaxRevoltCoalition.org or CaliforniaTeaPartyGroups.org, and we'll get them hooked up into a Tea Party in California.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer, and I just want to give God victory. We just want to really thank him for last night and that he will continue to have mercy and bless this nation and our families. And I just thank God. So watch and pray, he says, so we will not fall to temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak, and that's Matthew 26 through 41. Heavenly Father, we just want to give all these concerns to you. We thank you that you are almighty. You are able. But Lord, you do say that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I pray that the listeners will see that, Lord, you give us the ability to make a change. You enable us to stand in the gap, and that they will grab the Holy Bible, look in it, see that your promises are true. None of them will fail. So, Lord, I just thank you for this great nation. I thank you for its people, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to stand in the gap, Lord, for our families. And, Lord, we just lift up our defenders, our soldiers, wherever they are, asking for your hedge of protection as they stand to fight for us. And help us, Lord, help us to do our part. Please bless Don Wildman and Miss Betty Peters and enlarge their territory. And may you be given all the glory and honor and praise. We ask this, Lord, in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Dawn, and thank you, Miss Betty. And as
thank
always,
you.
Oh, Dawn, got to pray for Miss Betty. She had hurt her ankle, so keep her in your prayers.
Absolutely.
And if you can, Luca Bochy is going to try to come on tomorrow. And if you'd like to come on, Dawn, I'll let you know about when he'll come on because he's going to have a meeting, so he's not going to be able to come on our usual time. So I'm going to
okay.
have to try to, you know, work that up, so I will let you know. But, well, thank you so much, Miss Betty Peters, with the State of Alabama Board of Education, for fighting for the tomorrow. The youth is tomorrow. So we're so grateful. And listeners, we ask that you'll pass this little bit of information that you gathered today. There is really so much to learn. And because it is so much, you are going to be needed. So we hope that as you fight with us, that you'll put a picture of your family in focus. That is the goal. We want to help our families. So may God bless you and help you in the fight for America to be strong. Thank you for listening to City on Hill. God bless you and goodbye.